Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our church service here at Christ Church at Abbots Cross. You're very welcome to join us as we stream last Sunday and this Sunday only. We don't have anyone to worship with us in the service other than those that are helping us out with AV and stuff and, of course, the band. You're very welcome if you're at home, and we trust that we will be truly blessed. Can I, very, very start of this service, wish you all a very happy new year. We trust that it will be a happy year and a more blessed year than last year. Nevertheless, God was with us. And I love that little poem where it talks about whenever we look back, we see there's only one set of steps. And we know that it was He who carried us all of that time. So you're very welcome. And we trust that we will know God's blessing and His peace and grace and help and deliverance in 2021. And whatever it means to you, we trust that you'll be able to give God thanks for His hand and His help upon you. We have, before we start, a number of announcements that I need to make. And can I encourage you to listen very carefully for the announcements today, because there are quite a number of changes as to how things will proceed from this moment on. We will be having communion today. That's just a little pre-warning for you to make sure you have some wine or some juice and some bread ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper and remember Him and His sacrifice for us. That will be happening after we do have some worship and praise. This evening again, we'll be live streaming at 5 o'clock. Streaming the service at 5 o'clock, and we look forward to you joining with us today. We will be doing part one and part two just like last Sunday, only this time it's four priorities for 2021 is what we're looking at. And then on Wednesday, note Wednesday at 7:30, we'll be back over in the church hall for our gathering for prayer. And so please, the first prayer meeting, the first prayer gathering that we will, in 2021, we will be meeting over in the hall. That does not need to be pre-booked, but please come early. We'll be letting you in from 7:15, and we'll be having a time of prayer. That's 7:15 arrival time for starting at 7:30 on Wednesday in the church hall. And do please come and let's seek the Lord together. Now, going forward, you will all remember that Andrew sent out a text at the beginning of December as to the necessity to pre-book your seats going forward. He's now working from that pre-booking system, and you won't need to book. Those who have responded to that message do not need now to rebook. Andrew will be contacting you, letting you know what time to arrive and what service you can arrive for. Sadly, because of the urgency and the significance of the situation, we are greatly reducing our numbers. The morning service will be relayed across to the hall, as will the evening service be relayed to the hall. However, that won't mean that everyone can get into both services. In fact, we are struggling to let people into at least one service from going forward until things ease up a little bit. And so if you have already responded to that text of your preferences, then Andrew will be sending out a text to you saying you're expected for this service, whether it's the morning or the evening, but you'll only get into one service. We are struggling greatly with getting everybody into one service at all, and it may be that some people won't get in until every other Sunday. We are doing everything we can to ensure that people get into at least one service, but it may be extremely difficult going forward. We are changing the time for the evening service. Now, some people asked us, why did we have it at 5 o'clock in the evening? Well, up until now. Well, the reason being was that we couldn't have children into the morning service. We are allowing them to go over to the hall for their stepping stones and tiny steps. And therefore, we decided to make it easy and convenient for parents with young children. If they wanted to be able to bring their children to the evening service, then we thought a little bit earlier would suit them. However, now that we're really, really under pressure to give room and help, we are moving the service from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Now, you might ask, why are we not going to the old original time of 6:30? The reason being is that the YEF will be meeting immediately after the, sorry, not immediately after the service. They will be meeting at 8 o'clock. For those that are at the service from 6, they need to at least be out by 7 o'clock so they can get home and get ready for the YEF. So we'll be having the evening service at 6 o'clock going forward. And I don't imagine there'll be any change until this pandemic is greatly reduced. I know that's a lot for you to take in. Tune in again tonight. We will let you hear all of those announcements again, and they will be up on our website. If you are not booked, don't turn up. If you don't get a text, don't turn up. And we're sorry to tell people not to come to church. That is just goes against everything we as a leadership in this church believe. But nevertheless, it's for your safety and for your well-being. And already we have numbers of family in the congregation who are suffering from COVID-19. However, they are recovering. But nevertheless, it seems to be highly contagious at the moment. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that our fellowship is safe and that your safety is one of our priorities. I'm sure I've forgotten one or two things, but nevertheless, I'll be able to remind you again tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. And I don't want anything that I've announced to take away from our worship and praise of God. Lord, thank you that we can come to this house and we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you that we can set our hearts and our minds and fix them on you alone. And we ask, Lord, that you will be one of our number. Father, we are moving into some very difficult and dangerous days. Yet, Lord, we thank you that your care and love for us is surpasses all care and all love of others. And so we pray, dear God, that as we go forward into 2021 confidently, our confidence is not based on our ingenuity or even in restrictions or even in the measures that we will put forth in church. Our confidence is in our great God, and in him alone we trust. And so we pray your blessing will be upon us as we minister and as we worship just now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. We're going to have a little time of worship, and we're going to start by singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Can I say our thanks again to the band? That's Brian, and that's Kate and Dave and Amy, and then there's Andy and Samuel up in the sound and audio visual, and then Gary's in the back room, and of course Brian's wife's here, and she was looking after us with the communion, Evelyn Bell, so we're all here, so we're worshiping together. You worship with us as we lift up our hearts. What a great song to start in 2021, our first service. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Thank you, Amy. we need to remember as we leave the old year behind and as we go into this new year. We have someone who never changes. He doesn't change in his character and his nature, and he doesn't change in his purpose for us right now. He is our great mediator who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says he ever liveth in his eternal existence, he ever lives to make intercession for us. So whatever the sins and the failures of the past, we bring them to him in prayer and confession and ask for his forgiveness. But whatever the challenges that are for the future, we can also come to him confidently knowing that he knows the way that we take, and we can go before him and face every challenge and triumph, and we look back and say God has carried us through before the throne of God above. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within. And we know that was as a consequence of his failure. And he longed for that purification that comes alone from God. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Thank you. before we sing our next song, I'm just going to read to you from a few verses in Peter that sets the tone as we come to the Lord's table. Peter saw how precious the Lord was to him, and he uses that word precious quite often in his little epistles. And he realized how precious the Lord was because in his own strength he was going to fail. He was one of the disciples that said, I'd just go back to fishing. Whenever the Lord was taken and crucified and he was in the grave for 3 days, he just gave up. He threw in the towel. And then the Lord sought him out specifically and specially. And he said, remember, he said, tell my disciples and Peter. So Peter was on the Lord's mind in his resurrected body. Peter was on the Lord's mind. Peter must have discovered how precious and how wonderful and how loving. Discovered how precious and special the Lord was to him, and he recounts it again and again in his ministry. And I'm going to read these few words because he discovered that what he really needed was the Lord at the very center of his life. You also, is what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the cornerstone. Peter realized that in the very center, the very heart of who he was as a Christian, the Lord was his cornerstone. His life was absolutely built on what the Lord had done. And as we sing this next song, we are preparing our hearts to come to the one who is the cornerstone of our lives. And the song is called Cornerstone. Amen. Well, thank you for worshipping along with us, and we trust that as you've worshipped from your hearts, they are truly from redeemed hearts. Let's bow together in prayer before we come to celebrate and to thank the Lord and to remember His sacrifice for us. Lord, thank you that we can, Lord, just at this time, just offer up our tributes of praise and thanksgiving and worship to God. Thank you for what you mean to us, what you've done for us, Lord, how you've ministered to us, what you've been to us, Lord, down through 2020 and into 2021. Father, thank you for your great love in so many ways displayed to us, Lord, in your grace, your providence, your sovereignty, your care, your touch in so many in different aspects and challenges in 2020. And so, Father, we go forward confidently, knowing, Lord, that we go with in the confidence of His merits, His standards, and of His great grace. And so, Lord, we do pray for the many needs of our fellowship. We remember Tommy Campbell, Tommy Orr, remember Tommy Stewart, remember Lord Hilary Wiley, remember so many of our loved ones, Margaret Toyford just out of hospital, and so many who are facing so many challenges. We ask, Lord, that you will truly, truly be unto them all that they need as they recover from their various accidents and sicknesses. Lord, us as a fellowship, as we face the many challenges, Lord, we pray that you will truly go before us. And may we see the hand of God in everything we do and everything we attempt to do for the glory of God. And now, Father, as we come to your table, we pray that you will truly, Lord, grant us your presence and grant us your help and the aid of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we do have, and I trust that you have some of the elements with you. And the first thing that we have is our bread, which reminds us of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed on that night, as he was being betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks for the bread. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice, the willing sacrifice of Christ. Lord, how we could have fought and called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. But we thank you, Lord, that he willingly gave himself. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Thank you for that body which was broken for us. And we remember that body as we take of this bread now in Christ's name. And so he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And on that same night and in that same situation, he instituted something which really did amaze the disciples. You can imagine the surprise on their faces when he said, "This cup is the cup of my blood, which is shed for you. It's the cup of a new covenant." The old covenant now was about to fade away. The sacrifice of the animals, the sprinkling of the blood on the tabernacles and the various pieces of equipment and furniture within the tabernacle and within the temple. But now, it's his blood was about to be shed abroad in the doorposts of our hearts through faith in what he has done. "This is my blood, which satisfies the righteous judgments and requirements of God." Let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus, the one who atones for sin and satisfies the need of every heart. Thank you that God is satisfied. It was he who was sinned against, and it is he who is satisfied. And because of his death and resurrection, we are justified through faith in that sacrifice. Lord, we give you thanks. Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it." Well, I do trust that you were able to share with us as we remember the Lord. And I do trust that it does mean something to you. And as we fix and focus our eyes once again on the Lord, that we will truly know his help and his comfort and encouragement in 2021. Do continue to remember the needs of the sick in the fellowship. There have been many needs, and if you're on that little prayer WhatsApp group, then you'll have received all of those. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, I'm going to encourage you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel and chapter 2. Four priorities for 2021. Four priorities we need to set. And there are many other priorities, but we're going to try and set four priorities for 2021. And this is an unusual place to get them from, but whenever Jesus sets priorities, then I think we profit greatly to follow from his example. So we're going to read a very familiar story, Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 12 verses, and then we'll get into seeing the four priorities that we see that he had. We're going to look at possibly two of them this morning, but certainly one of them, and then the other three perhaps this evening. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, reading from verse 1. And again Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, Arise, take up your bed, and go your way into the house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. If you want to take the four priorities, then you make sure you have a piece of paper and a pen, and make sure you write them down as we go through the message. There's a cathedral in Italy, and it has three entrances right beside each other, right across the front of the building. There's one major entrance, and then there's a door to the left, and also a door to the right. There are little mottos, notices above each of the doors. The door on the left has this motto, All that pleases is but for a moment. And then the door on the right says, All that troubles is but for a moment. And then over the center door, there's this notice, this motto, Nothing is important except that which is eternal. So I have good news and a bad news for you today. Bad news is your good days will not last forever. And also, your bad days won't last forever. But the bad news is your good news, good days, won't last forever. In fact, all that pleases and all that troubles are but for a moment. And the only thing that matters and the only thing that should be important are the eternal things. Nothing is more important. There's a little boy who arrived at Sunday school, and the teacher said to her class, Aren't you glad to be at church today? One little boy said, Actually, miss, I wanted to go fishing, but my dad made me come here. And the teacher asked, did your dad explain why it was important for you to go to church today? Oh, he did. He said he did. Yes, of course he did. The little boy said, Dad told me there was only enough bait for one person to go fishing. So I had to go to church. I wonder if in a world that has gotten many of its priorities all wrong, where do our priorities lie? Is what we are aiming for, living for, working for, are they what God wants for us? Does it glorify God? Does it fit in with his redemptive plan? Jesus always put eternal things way ahead of temporary things. Three areas in his life and his teaching emphasize this. There is his teaching, then there was that occasion of his temptations, And then there was his treatment of others. He always put in those three things eternal issues as a priority. Notice very quickly as we seek to lay the foundation for what we're going to say. There was his teachings. Listen to this verse. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now folks, that does not mean that we put down tools and expect the food to arrive magically on our table. Nor, young ladies, and I'm glad to say the average age of the young ladies in this church this morning are around there, I must say. It doesn't say that when you go to the wardrobe that magically all the new clothes that you desire is going to magically appear in the wardrobe. So what is he saying? Don't worry. He's saying, and I believe it's really tackling the live for the weekend mentality, where we work for 6 days just to have, or 5 days, or whatever length of time. Some people don't even bother working at all. They go into the dole office and they claim my money. And I say, it's my money, it's not your money, but you claim my money. That be the case, I don't know. We need to change our focus about living for the weekend. It's not about leisure and pleasure. All that pleases is just for a moment. And all that hurts and all that troubles is but for a moment. The only thing worth living for is the eternal. That's what he's really saying. And there are some great dividends too for living for the Lord, as you would have discovered if you sought to do that. But here's something else that's strange in his teachings. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In fact, Luke puts it a wee bit more distinctive and a wee bit more harsh. He says, whoever doesn't hate father or mother. Well, what's the truth before me? But what's the truth that he's putting forth? Make sure your love for God surpasses all other loves. It doesn't mean to say you go home and be rude to your parents and to your loved ones. Make God and love for him a premium, your primary target. That's what he's saying in his teachings. And so he's talking about priorities in his teachings. But as I thought about his temptations, we notice a number of priorities that he set there as well. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 4 verse 8. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Well, what are we discovering here? What was his priority? You live for God, not for the moment. You live for God, not the masses. You live for God, not the menial. Jesus' response in his temptations is it is more important to serve and honour God than it is to serve the masses that are watching us. That's a primary goal, to worship him. But the third thing that I want to think about in his priorities are his treatment of others, which brings us to Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. And as we focus in on Jesus in his various situations he faced with people throughout his ministry, we begin to see many of the priorities that he lived for throughout and practiced in his ministry. People and their well-being were very much at the head of his list of priorities. Let me name a few. The case of the widow whose son had died. Or the woman of Samaria, where he went out of his way to make sure he met with her. Or the 10 lepers that he took a detour to reach them. Or the demonic where he left revival, crossed the Sea of Galilee just to minister to him, go back on the ship and come back over again. In this situation in Mark chapter 2, we see 4 priorities coming through. 4 priorities that I believe we as a church and us as individuals need to set for 2021. If we are really serious about living, loving and serving God. Now we see his first response, the first two verses, his response to the crowd tells us of his first priority. His first priority when he was in a crowded meeting was to preach the word. To preach the word. Now, I want to tell you, I could preach all morning on this one point alone. That if Jesus saw the importance, the significance, how supremely important it was to preach the word, not please the crowd, then we ought to set that as a priority for us. Notice it wasn't with reports of what he had done, nor was he foretelling what he was going to do, or what was going to happen in the word, because he would have been using the Old Testament. So he was speaking about the things of God, and as was in the Old Testament. He didn't put on a show for the thrill seekers. If it thrills of the visible kind and sights that excite, then go to the circus or go to a theatre. Some extreme sports adventure group and join it. Or go to some freak show if it's just thrills we want. So he didn't put on a show, nor did he openly castigate his enemies so as to please his followers. He didn't rail on the Romans for invading Israel and taking the Hebrews' heritage from them, a heritage that his father had promised them for thousands of years. Nor did he point the accusing finger at Judas, which would have made some people feel more at home. Is it not true that some people are more known for what they don't believe than what they do believe? They're more willing to criticize what others are doing rather than show the right way of doing it themselves. He didn't openly castigate his enemies. Nor did he go down into the pet themes that so many love, the health and wealth gospel that fills many of the mega churches in America and in other parts of the world. All grace and no justice. All love and no condemnation. All mercy and no wrath. All heaven and no hell. All get and no give. If it's handouts you want, go to the DLA. Go to the DLA. If it's to feel good about yourself, then join some feel good gathering that promotes the power of positive thinking. The only thing positive about that group is they're exactly and completely wrong. Interesting thing is, by the time the crowd left him, verse 12 says they never saw anything like this. So he didn't openly set out to please the crowd. The priority in his heart for that crowd was to preach the word. He wanted those who were present to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And how did he go about doing that and achieving that? The word. Jesus operated with the priority of ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Psalm number 139 and verse 17 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord. How vast the sum of them. The writer in 2 Samuel 7 says in verse 28, and now, O Lord, you are God and your words are true. It is so apparent today, is it not? That people don't really want to know the truth. They want ears tickled. Tell you what I want to see today and tell you what I see today is there's no real hunger for the word. Among the masses. A few, yes. But no real hunger. No real craving for the deeper things of God, for the truth. And the sad thing is, those that are supposed to be supplying it are going along with them. If Jesus saw the importance, the word of preaching the word to the people, should we not follow suit? Should it not be a burden and a priority? Should it not be one of the top items on our daily and weekly to-do list of getting into the Word and making sure that others hear it? We talk about getting to know ourselves and getting to know Christ. But sometimes there's only a lot of hot air. Because getting to know Him is to getting to know the Word of the God, the Word of God and the God of the Word. And that's where we get. Isn't it true? Many people don't know why they're saved, what they're saved from, or for that matter, how salvation really works, or what the priority of salvation is. The priority of salvation is to bring us into a relationship with God, a loving, intimate, living relationship with God. It's not only, and you've heard me say this thousands of times, and you'll probably hear me saying it thousands of times again, that one of the chief priority, if not the main priority of salvation, is not merely to rescue us from hell. That's a byproduct. The main priority of salvation is to bring us into a loving, living relationship where we walk with Him, we talk with Him, and we enjoy God every day. Because man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. John said in John chapter 9, or Jesus said in John chapter 9 and 5 and verse 39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about Me. You want to get to know Christ this year? Get into the Word. You want to get deeper into the things of God? But I believe that there are two ways that the Lord brings us deeper. Number one, by His truth. And He reveals Himself through His Word. That's what He is. This is about Him. This is not about you and me. This is not only about the church. This is about Christ. And isn't Christ, as we sang and as we asserted earlier on, is He not the chief cornerstone? And is it not built up all around Him? And are we not founded in Him? Is it not about Him? What did the song say? It's not about me, it's all about You, Lord. 2 Timothy 3, in verse 15 to 17 says, from childhood, Timothy says, Paul says, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. It's not about sensationalism. Come to my meetings because you'll see people's legs grow, or the blind will see you, the deaf will hear. We may say we wouldn't ever go down that road, but I want to say something to you, and I mean this, that if I announced today, that there was going to be someone in this church, whenever we were able to meet and pack the place, if I said that someone who has been raised from the dead and medically proven that he was raised from the dead, I would guarantee there'd hardly be an empty seat in the church. But if I said that we were going to look at the man Christ and we're going to take a study on his character, the normal crowd will probably usually just appear. I repeat to you a story that is true in every form of this story. I'm not going to mention the name of the pastor, nor am I going to mention the name of the church. And I'm not even going to tell you which country this happened in, but it wasn't a million miles away. So the pastor, wanting to fill his church, decided that he was going to put something in print and excite the people of the whole community and say, and he put in an advert saying, in our church next Sunday there's going to be a man who was raised from the dead giving his testimony. Well, the elders of the church were greatly embarrassed because they had streams of people in the church and there were lines and lines and lines of people outside the church not able to get into the church. So the man boldly walked in and everybody wondered, where was this man that was raised from the dead? And there was no unusual person that they had seen, or nobody that looked at them like they'd been raised from the dead. And he went up to the pulpit and he says, we're going to speak about Lazarus. Well, he wasn't long in the church after that. I think it caused a few stirs, because they see people said that was a wee bit deceptive, to say the very least. But my point is this. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, which contains the Word of God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1 verse 38, let us go on to the next town that I may preach there also, for that is why I came. May I say to you that if the heavenly choirs is to be populated with redeemed voices in praises to God, then it will come about by the word of our testimony. And what is the word of our testimony? It's our testimony is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. Ours is the day of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 to 4. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. I believe it is God's will to save the lost and sanctify the church through the preaching of the Word of God. That is how your life and mine will glorify Him as well. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth, says Jesus as He prayed to the Father. If Jesus emphasizes and makes the Word of God and the preaching of it a priority, don't we see how important it is in our lives? Ask any bookseller, Christian bookseller, how regularly they have people buying study books and study aids, and they'll tell you they depend on the sale of cards, which are vastly falling away as well. You want your life to become more like Christ? Set the Word of God as a priority. Make it a priority, a top of the list, a primary goal to be into God's Word. To not only have a passing interest in truth, not only a sightseer or to be a cherry picker of the truth, but to have a deep passion and hunger for the Word of God. You've often heard, and this I'm finishing my first point, you've often heard it say 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Well, what about 7 days without the Word? What about 7 weeks without the Word? What about 7 years only picking the odd little tidbit from God's Word? You'd be malnutrition sufferer and badly deformed. In fact, hunger can make long-lasting hunger can make people go blind and give them other physical deficiencies. The first priority that we see is the priority of the Word. Very quickly, in his response, we must have this one finished, but we certainly will look at it. Verses 3 to 5, his response to the cares. So first of all, there was his response to the crowd. Now in verses 3 to 5, we have his response to the cares. You know, the second eternal point here, and priority, is getting people to Jesus. Getting people to Jesus. Very quickly in these few verses we are plunged into drama and disturbance by the men who rocked the proverbial boat to accomplish that very thing of getting this man to Jesus. Notice their actions very quickly. Five nameless men arrived as Jesus was preaching, and one of them was a paralytic. Now, we are not told how he became paralyzed. Some commentators will tell us that he wasn't always paralyzed and there was something to do with his lifestyle. And that may well be true, because the reason that they arrive at that is because whenever Jesus addressed him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." So he kind of ties the two things together, that his condition was related to some specific sin. I'm not 100% sure of that. I put it out to you, but nevertheless, we are not really told. But he seems to have been one of a group of five men, at least, and he's now been born along with four friends. But what we do know is that their actions very much represent a group of men who had a burden for their friend. And their burden was to bring them to Jesus. Hence, we sang that song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." What does it mean for us today to bring our friends to Jesus? Because, Brian, I can't save anyone. Dave, you can't save anyone. Folks at home, we can't save anyone. But we know one who can, can't we? Don't we? Are we convinced of that? Are we sure of that? Are we certain of that? Well, why do we not bring those whom we love to Jesus in prayer? Why is prayer such a kind of take it or leave it kind of thing? Why is it not the priority? Why do we not pray about everything, as Jesus said? And by the way, can I just put this in for a wee added bit of space? We're not only to pray for our friends, but we're to pray for our enemies. That's the harder thing, isn't it? Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I practice this, by the way. And I know, and I've said this before, when I pray for those who persecute me, I'm the one who gets blessed. Now, this might be a kind of a selfish thing, but I don't mind being selfish now and again, as long as for the right reason. I want to be blessed. True, as one commentator says, true and real character that resembles Jesus is that person that prays for God's blessings and not curses on our enemies. And I say this tenderly, folk. Prayer, real prayer, urgent, critical, fervent prayer is almost a thing of the past. I had reason to be speaking with a dear friend of mine who has been a wonderful influence in my life over the 25, 30 years. And I would also add to say very, very quickly, those that have influenced my life most are those who I have been praying with down through my life. Of course, under God's providence, and I can only say it as the providence of God. Whenever I was converted, there was this desire to meet with other people because this was a whole new world. So I got into two prayer meetings and during the week, and one of them was, and I don't mean this in any demeaning fashion, but the first prayer meeting was about six dear old ladies, and they were dear old ladies. And about two dear gentlemen. But boy, could they pray. Boy, could they pray. And that happened on a Tuesday night. On a Thursday night, we went to our own church praise, prayer and Bible study. That's what it was. Praise, prayer and Bible study. That's the way we did it. And again, some of those same dear old saints that met on a Tuesday night, they also came to the Thursday night. And boy, it was there that you heard people and what it was to have a burden in prayer. Well, I was talking to my dear friend, whom I prayed with often, and he was saying, do you remember those prayer meetings? Do you remember the time whenever you could be practically lying on your face before God in prayer? And it was there that you learned something of the heart of God. And now he says, they're virtually gone. And in one sense, I feel sorry for the younger generation coming up who haven't really experienced what I think back to in those days. But am I being defeatist then by saying that? Am I really saying that we can't have those days back again? I'm not, because we could. We could right now. Purpose in our hearts. Second priority is I'm going to get into prayer. And I'm really going to get into prayer. Listen. And I thought of this morning. You know, we want our families to be blessed, and whenever things aren't going so well with relationships within the families, we come running and we ask for prayer, and that's right. But what are we doing now? What way are we interacting with her? Are we taking our youngsters around our knees, and are we praying with them? Are we praying with our partners? Or, listen, you young folk, pray with your boyfriends and girlfriends, and make sure you always pray with them, and lift up those things which are important. Start as you mean to go on. We know the quotes, don't we? No prayer, no blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. What do we do about it? Sad thing is, prayer is treated as an optional, not as an essential. It's treated as a duty, not as a delight. May God give us all a burden to pray with priority. Bring the lost and the needy to Christ in prayer. That was only the introduction to my second point. I will deal with it tonight. We'll look at four things which brought spice but brings life into the action of these men in prayer. We'll actually learn how to pray tonight as the beginning of our first point. But I don't want to overfeed you and these young folk here. You probably need to go home and do something else. But please, let's think of these four priorities. The first one is a priority to preach. Second one is a priority to pray. To pray. The third priority is a priority to proclaim that God forgives. And the fourth priority is a priority that we know we're forgiven.
That's what he wanted us to know. And I want others to know, outside the bounds of this church building and into Newton Abbey, what we want people to know is that God forgives, and he forgives. And there are a number of things around this whole forgiveness. I can't forgive myself for the things I did last week. But you haven't got the authority to forgive yourself. It's God that forgives. And that was the response to the cynics, in case you don't get tuned in tonight. There was the crowd, the carers, the cynics, and there's the dear casualty. And his response to each of these four. God forgives. And God wants you to know you're forgiven. It's a priority for him. Let's bow together before we sing our next song. Father, we pray that your word will find a resting place in every heart. We pray, dear God, that you'll move so powerfully in our will and in our desire to serve God, that we will so willingly respond to you and make these priorities our priority. Make them, Lord, number one on our list. Lord, that we'll see the urgency, the efficiency, the sufficiency of the word of God. We will take to it like the children of Israel took to manna in the wilderness. Father, we pray, help us to set these priorities as our priority in the year that lies ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the next song we're going to sing is not very well known by yours truly, which is me, and less well known by others, but we will try our very best to sing it with you. It is a wee bit off timing at times, but we don't profess to be professional singers, but we have a wonderful Saviour that we want to sing about. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Thank you, Amy.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Thank you.
let's pray together as we bring our gathering to a close. Remember the announcements that we made that our service next Sunday will be greatly reduced in number for each service, but we are relaying both service AM and PM. It will only mean that we'll get what we would normally get into the church at any one given time under the restrictions. So if you have not booked, don't turn up, but please make sure if you want to be in church, please make sure you book. And you don't need to book otherwise, because Andrew will be working off that list of those who sent in their preferences before Christmas. It will be up on our website. Please take a wee look on it and make sure that you have all the information that's given there. Let's pray together. Father, for your love, your goodness, your mercy and your grace, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you, Lord, that we may set standards and habits in our lives that might not glorify you. But Lord, we thank you that any standard or any priority that you set, Lord, we thank you that you give us the grace to accomplish and to carry out these priorities. So Lord, this year we pray that we will set these priorities in our lives and others perhaps, as we want to see your kingdom extended and glory to your name. Now may grace, love and mercy from God, Father, and Holy Spirit, and the Son rest, abide, and remain with us each one. First in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you this evening. God bless.